We're going to continue our study this evening in the book of Genesis. So I'd like you to go ahead and turn your Bibles there to the book of Genesis. And we're dealing with the issue here of we've gotten down through the end of verse number one, or chapter number one. It feels like we've spent forever on verse number one, but no, we're done. We've gone through the end of chapter number one, and we saw we're starting to look at chapter number two. And in chapter number two, we have the issue of God has now finished his 6 days of creation. And it says something here very interesting and perhaps overlooked by most Christians and churchgoers today. And what that is we find at the beginning of chapter 2 is after God finished his 6 days of work, it talks about the seventh day. And on that seventh day, it said that God rested. And there's a significant issue in your Bible about that issue of rest on the seventh day. And it might surprise you to find out that the issue of rest on the seventh day isn't about you resting from your work during the week because you've had a hard week. You see, the issue is much more entrenched into God's plan and purpose for the earth from the beginning of creation. Let's read the first few verses of Genesis chapter 2 together. It says, Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 1, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Let's open in a word of prayer this evening. Father, we love you. We're thankful for your word. And we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to study it again this evening. I pray, Lord, that it would be taught correctly. Help me to do that, Lord. Help me to say those things that are true and that would honor you from your word and help us to grow from it as we know your scripture promises that we will. In Christ's name, amen. So we have the issue here of the seventh day, and it says God rested. Now, why did God rest on the seventh day? Why did God rest? Perhaps a better way to say it is not why did God rest, but what is God's rest? And, you know, it says here that he had some work to do in 6 days. We've studied that already. Now he comes to the seventh day and he rests. And the seventh day was the accomplishment of his creation. Now when you have a big job to do and you come to the end of that job, you've completed it. It's done. It's finished. What do? Well, you enjoy the labor that you had done, and you enjoy what it was that you had created. You're enjoying the purpose of the work that you had done on that big job. And so, too, God had a purpose for the heaven and the earth. And when he gets done on the seventh day and he rests, he's enjoying the purpose for which he had created it. Turn over to Psalm 132. Keep your hand there in Genesis chapter 2. Keep a finger there. But turn over to Psalm 132. I want you to see an issue here. In Psalm 132, it's a psalm that's written about the second coming of the Lord. And it says in Psalm 132 and verse number 5. It says, "Until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob, lo, we heard of it in Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool." So notice here, it's talking about a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Now, where is it that God is going to dwell? Let's get a little bit ahead of ourselves. We know that in time past, God dwelt in a tent made by man's hands. He gave Israel certain specifications for where it was he was going to dwell. We recently studied that issue. But there's going to come a time where God, you know, God's going to restore his kingdom upon the earth, and he's going to fill the earth with his presence. And God's purpose in the earth is dominion, and through that dominion, he's going to reign on the earth. Now, it's saying here, it's talking about the habitation of the Lord. Continue with me reading. In verse number 7, we will go into his tabernacles, we will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest. Notice that. Thou and the ark of thy strength, let thy priests be clothed with righteousness. Now, when is it that the priests of Jehovah God is going to be clothed with righteousness? When is that going to be? They weren't clothed with righteousness in time past. They're going to be clothed with righteousness when they receive Christ's righteousness at the time of the new covenant. And it says, and let thy saints shout for joy. Verse 10, for thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. So we're having the issue about where his habitation is going to be. And he's saying from the fruit of David is where he's going to set up his throne. Verse 12, if thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. So he's talking about the place where he's going to dwell. He said, I'm going to dwell in Zion. It's his desired habitation. God's plan before he created was to dwell in the earth. He was going to rest. It was going to be his rest. And he was going to dwell in the earth with his creation. That's the purpose for which God created the earth. He didn't create the earth with the intention of setting it apart and being distant from it. He created the earth with the intention that he was going to dwell in the earth with man. If he had planned to make the earth his habitation, was he able to do so back in the early part of Genesis? He was not able to do so. He wasn't able to do it at that time. But when was he going to make the earth his habitation? You know, he didn't do it at this time, on the seventh day. When was he going to come back? It would have been sometime after that. But perhaps it would have been the following week, on the next Sabbath. Maybe he would have come down. We don't know, but we know that God's purpose was that he was going to fill the earth. But instead of God being able to come, he had to wait because Adam entered into sin. Rebellion came upon the earth. And so God couldn't come down and dwell with sin. So there had to be a plan of redemption, not only for Adam, not only for mankind who has now fallen in their sin, there had to be a plan of redemption for God to restore the earth, for him to rule and reign in the earth and to dwell in it. So because Adam fell, the seed of the woman had to come to reclaim God's position in the earth, to have that dominion. All of the principalities, powers, and authorities, yes, in heavenly places, but then coming down into the earth, who's going to reign here? God had planned to do that. So the kingdom God prepared has been prepared from the foundation of the world. You know, the kingdom that we talk about, that in the ages to come, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, sets up his kingdom upon earth, there's going to be a 1,000-year reign upon earth, there's going to be the great white throne judgment, there's going to be a destruction of the current earth because it's in its fallen state, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and there will be a reigning on the new earth forevermore. God will accomplish his purpose. But that kingdom that God has, that God has planned has been prepared from the foundation of the world. That kingdom rest has been his plan where he dwells in the earth. Now, the church, the body of Christ, is not in Israel's program because we are in God's plan and purpose to redeem the heavenly places. So keep that in mind. Now, the first question I want to ask, go back to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter 2, who did God give the Sabbath to? So what we're going to do now is we're going to take the issue. In Genesis chapter 2, you come along and you read about God resting on the seventh day. And what a lot of people do is they say, look, there's the Sabbath from the very beginning. We have it here in Genesis chapter 2. You notice there that it doesn't talk about God implementing a Sabbath there. It just says that he rested on the seventh day. I want to answer some questions. I want to look into this issue of the seventh day to see its purpose, to see who it was for, when it was given, the Sabbath. What was the purpose of the Sabbath that was given? What we have here in Genesis chapter 2 is just God's rest. Let's read it. Genesis chapter 2, again, in verse number 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now let me ask you the question. Here, you just read these verses. Did God command Adam and Eve to observe a Sabbath here? You don't see God giving it to Adam and Eve. It just said that God rested. There's no command here for Adam and Eve to keep a Sabbath day. Adam and Eve didn't need to recognize it. They were not instructed to recognize it here in Genesis chapter 2. Why is it? Because the issue of the Sabbath day, having to do with God's purpose, having to do with God's rest. Now we'll get to that purpose later, explain it in more detail. But would Adam and Eve need rest if they were still in perfection? No, see the issue here, Adam and Eve, they hadn't sinned. They were created on the sixth day. The seventh day, God rests on the seventh day. He sanctifies it. And God's the only one that rests. Adam and Eve didn't need a rest. And from Genesis chapter 2 until Mount Sinai, no one ever observed what we call today the Sabbath. You don't find that happening. God never told anyone here. God didn't tell Adam and Eve. And God didn't tell anyone between Genesis chapter 2 and Mount Sinai to keep the Sabbath. It's not until they get into the safety. And when I say they, I'm talking about Israel. It's not until Israel gets into the safety of the other side of the Red Sea after being delivered from the hand of Pharaoh, the hand of the destroyer, that God talks to them about a Sabbath. Go over to Exodus chapter number 31. Exodus chapter number 31. Now, what I'm trying to say to you is that when you look on the timeline of the ages, and when is it that God's going to bring in his kingdom and dwell upon the earth, which is his purpose? It's in the ages to come when God is dealing with Israel, right? And so when God, it's when he comes back and makes a restoration of all things. It's when we're in the heavenly places. And it's so when there's a picture there of Israel being delivered from Egypt, out of the hand of Pharaoh, out of the destroyer, and taking them across the Red Sea, over to safety. Then once they have safety, God gives them the rest. Once they're in the rest symbolized by God's kingdom here, then God gives Israel the Sabbath. Read with me Exodus chapter 31 and look at verse number 12. Exodus 31, verse number 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel. Now, I know a lot of you Bible students who are watching the Bible study tonight. If I were to ask the question, who is the book of Exodus written about? Who's it written about and who's it for? The book of Exodus is for the nation of Israel. God chose a nation from Abraham. He said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. There's going to be people. I'm going to give you a land and a nation. And then later through King David, you have the throne that's promised. Through the seed of Abraham, through the seed of David, here comes Christ. So the issue here is that God is working with Israel. And he says specifically here, when God is speaking to Israel, he's not speaking to you today. Notice verse 13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Now, who is that Sabbath for? God said, he didn't give it to Adam and Eve, but over here you come to Exodus and he says, Speak thou unto the children of Israel. It's going to be a sign between me and you throughout your generations. Now, if we're to keep the Sabbath today, I'll just ask you the question, do you come from a generation of Israel? Are you part of God's chosen nation Israel today? Of course not. God was working through Israel. Let's continue reading here. Verse number 14. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. God, when he implemented the Sabbath, you know, the book of Exodus wasn't written to the whole world. God didn't tell the nations of the world, keep this law right here. God didn't tell the nations of the world, here's my Sabbath, keep my Sabbath. God implemented this with the nation of Israel. He introduced it to Israel. He told Israel to keep it because he said it's a sign between me and you. Well, if it's a sign for Israel, what does that mean? It's a sign. It's not a moral command. It's a sign. That means God has a purpose for it. A sign is going to show you something. Well, that's interesting because when we talk about what is the Sabbath, we'll see what is it that God was trying to tell us. What is it that God was trying to tell Israel, that is? What is it that he was trying to show them through the Sabbath? Notice here he says, You shall keep the Sabbath therefore, verse number 14, You shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. It's holy unto you, Israel. Everyone that defileth shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, thou shalt be cut off from among his people. Who is he going to be cut off from? He's going to be cut off from Israel. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest. Notice that issue of rest. Holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So in Exodus chapter 31, we see very clearly that the issue of the Sabbath was for the nation Israel. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter number 20. Ezekiel chapter number 20. And I want you to see this passage as well. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse number 19. It says, I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. You see, again, God is saying that the Sabbath, just so you don't think that Exodus 31 is taken out of context, he repeats, he tells Israel several times that the issue of the Sabbath was for him, between him and Israel, and that Israel, it was a sign for Israel. Now that issue of the sign is going to be really important. We'll take a look at why that is. You know, over in Luke chapter 4, here we have, you know, God telling Israel to keep his commandments, keep his law, keep his statutes, keep his Sabbath. Now, when Jesus came in his earthly ministry, people think that once you get to Matthew 1:1, somehow, you know, using an etch-a-sketch, they just completely deleted the law, and that from Matthew 1:1 on forward, we're living under grace. But that's not how it worked. In the Lord's earthly ministry, he came to minister unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, he was circumcised as he was supposed to be under the law, that covenant of circumcision. But also in Luke 4:16, it tells us that as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. On the Sabbath day, Christ, observing the Sabbath, went into the synagogues. And Jesus said, if you break the Sabbath, you would be out of the will of God. Matthew chapter number 5. He says, if you come along and you don't keep the Sabbath, then there's going to be a problem, because he says that till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass away from the law. Now, the Sabbath was part of the law. It was the fourth commandment that was given. So why is it today that we don't keep the Sabbath? Are the Seventh-day Adventists right? Have we got it all wrong? Should we be keeping the Sabbath? No, that's not the case. You need to understand who God gave the Sabbath for and what his purpose was in giving it to them. Now turn back to Nehemiah chapter 9. And let's clear up a little bit more confusion, because I'll just ask you the question. When was the Sabbath given? When was the Sabbath given? Now, the Sabbath was not instituted from the very beginning. It wasn't instituted in Genesis chapter 2. God did not tell mankind after Adam was created on day 6. He didn't say, now Adam, it's day 7, I'm resting. I want you to rest too, and you have to observe this. No, we've seen specifically it was given to Israel. I want you to look at Nehemiah chapter 9 and look at verse number 13. It says, thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant. When was it that Nehemiah says that the Sabbath was given? It was given at Mount Sinai. Israel comes out of the land of Egypt. They're in the wilderness. They're at Mount Sinai first. Moses, God communicates some doctrine to Moses. Moses comes down, gives it to the children of Israel. And what one of the things that was communicated unto them is that God has a holy Sabbath and he wants Israel to keep it. And it's going to be a sign for them. So when he brought the nation of Israel into existence, he made known unto them his holy Sabbath. You know, we talk about Israel kind of coming into existence after they come out of the land of Egypt. And as soon as Israel is formed, as soon as God brings this chosen nation into existence, what does he do? He gives them the law and tells them to observe the Sabbath. Prior to giving the law, nobody ever observed the Sabbath. So when was it given? Was it given in the beginning? Was it given in Genesis chapter 2? It was not. It was given when God gave the law to Israel on Mount Sinai. Again, given to Israel. You can see that in what we just read, Nehemiah chapter 9. So, Exodus 20 tells us it's the fourth commandment. Nobody from Adam to Moses kept the law. Nobody kept the Sabbath, as I'm sorry, from Adam to Moses, nobody kept the Sabbath because it's a sign to remind a certain group of people about God's plan and purpose in the earth. It was only when he formed the kingdom nation that was to bring about his purpose in the earth that he began to educate man about that purpose and give unto them the Sabbath. They were to remember their part in reconciling the earth unto God. You understand what I'm saying? God had a plan that I'm going to reconcile the earth. And I think you'll understand that a little bit better when we talk about what that purpose is and we get into the details there. But if you understand that God had a plan for redeeming the earth and he chose the nation of Israel to do it, and the Sabbath was going to be assigned to them to show how God wanted to accomplish that, God gives Israel the Sabbath, and every seventh day, Israel's resting. They can't do any work. They're not doing any work to distract them from the purpose from which God has for that chosen nation. And every seventh day, Israel was able to meditate upon the law. They were able to meditate upon that Sabbath that was given, and the reason for which they were resting, and the purpose for which God had given the Sabbath. Now, you know, preachers start to get into a bit of a different story because they don't know what God is doing with Israel. So preachers come along and they have all different types of ideas about what they think the Sabbath is, what they want the Sabbath to be. Half the times I think they just want the Sabbath to be you coming into their churches so they can get your money and it looks like they have a big crowd. So not only do they get your money, but the numbers and the attendance strokes their ego and they come away feeling really good about themselves and they put you under the law saying you have to come into our church on Sunday to observe the Sabbath day, when that has nothing to do with the reason for which God gave the Sabbath, and it has nothing to do with the people, the specific group to which God gave the Sabbath. Now, let's talk a little bit about what the Sabbath is. Turn over to Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus, the second book in your Bible, right after we get through Genesis, nation of Israel, God's working with Abraham. In the end of the book of Genesis, we come to Exodus, and in Exodus chapter 20, we find out what the Sabbath is. And this is what he tells Israel. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. You notice there, what day of the week is the Sabbath? It says very specifically, the seventh day. The seventh day is the Sabbath. It's Saturday. The Sabbath is not Sunday. If you're being told by someone that you need to observe the Sabbath day and come into the church, and they're telling you it's on Sunday, they haven't read their Bible and they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what the Sabbath is. I've seen people being told, you know, wanting to do a few things in the church, and they said, oh, don't come out on Sunday. We don't want you to work in the church on Sunday. Sunday's the Sabbath. We don't want you to do any work. And yet those same preachers that tell you that will get in their car and turn the ignition switch and light a fire and drive a certain distance to go to a church on a Sunday. They'll violate Sabbath laws all day long, but yet they'll pick and choose which ones they want you to keep, and they'll say, oh, the Sabbath is about, you know, you rest from your work and you come to church. That's where you need to be on the Sabbath day. And if you have a secular job and you're working on Sunday, you're going against the Lord's will because, you know, on the Sabbath day you shouldn't be working. And they'll try to put you under the law and make you feel condemned on Sunday. But the issue here is that not one time in your Bible do you ever find the Sabbath being switched to a Sunday. The Sabbath was always on the seventh day. It was always on a Saturday. And so these verses prove it wrong when Christians say that it's on Sunday. Now you have a group of people called the Seventh-day Adventists that come along and they tell Christians, look, you need to be worship. You need to be observing the Sabbath day, and it's on Saturday. It's not on Sunday. And Christians hear the Seventh-day Adventists say that, and they're like, oh, wow. And the Seventh-day Adventists show them the scripture to show that it's on Saturday, and the Christians go, you know what? You're right. The problem is that the Seventh-day Adventists, they think that they're Israel. So they've got it right that the Sabbath is on Saturday, but they've got it wrong in their application of the Sabbath to which people need to observe it. So the first issue is that you see that it's on Saturday. Now the second issue that you see there in Exodus chapter 20 is you see that the issue of the Sabbath is required. It says in verse number 8 again, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant. Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord God blessed the Sabbath. The issue there of the Sabbath is it's not negotiable. It's not negotiable. It's required. It wasn't something that you could say, you know what, I'll observe it sometimes when I want to, and other times I'm just not going to do it. Now, that's what happens today in smorgasbord Christianity, where Bible teachers will pick and choose which doctrines they want to keep because they think that they're spiritual Israel. They lay out all the doctrines of the Bible on a buffet. They'll pick and choose which ones they want. They know that the Bible talks about a Sabbath, so therefore they say, because they fail to rightly divide the word of truth, they say, well, the Bible talks about a Sabbath, so we should observe it, but how do we observe it? You don't see them going back to the law and saying how they should observe the Sabbath strictly. So therefore they rearrange things and they make up their own doctrine when it comes to the Sabbath. But the issue of the Sabbath is it's required. And when the Sabbath was required for Israel, that means you had to follow every law that was applicable to the Sabbath. I mean, it wasn't okay for you to do the things that all of the Bible teachers today that tell you, you know, to observe the Sabbath, and then they violate the very laws of the Sabbath themselves because they're not upholding all the points of the law. Now, the other thing here, turn over to Exodus chapter number 35. I want you to see another thing about keeping the Sabbath is that it's very strict. It's not like the Bible teachers make it out to today, the Bible teachers who fail to rightly divide. Understand, I'm not saying that we should be keeping the Sabbath today. I'm pointing out the contrast between those who say that you should, but really don't. And I want you to see how strict the Sabbath is. There's no question about Israel's requirement to keep the Sabbath. Exodus chapter number 35, and look at verse number 3. Exodus 35, verse number 3. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. You can't light a fire. You can't turn the stove on. You can't turn the furnace on to give you some heat in the winter. You can't turn the ignition in your car. Because when you turn the ignition in your car, what is the ignition? The ignition stands for your igniter, which makes a spark, which gets your car going and fires the gasoline that the cylinders are pumping. So you can't do any of those things on the Sabbath. You can't light a fire. Now, those people who are keeping the Sabbath today, do they turn their furnaces on in the winter? Do their wives come home and make a big Sunday spread? Do they make a meager Sunday spread? Just have a few things? Do they light the stove to cook anything? Did they turn the microwave on? Did they get in their car that morning to drive to church on their supposed Sabbath? Or did they walk? Because if they got in the car, they ignited a fire. So people say we should observe the Sabbath day because God knew we should have a day of rest. But it's much more serious than just telling people you need to observe the Sabbath and you need to rest. There were specific commandments. God said if you don't keep the Sabbath, you should die. Look back at Exodus 35, verse number 1. Exodus 35:1. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath day of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Now that's pretty strict. That's pretty serious. God meant it when he told Israel, you need to keep the Sabbath. It was not a recommendation. And yet people today say, well, you need to keep the Sabbath, but they're so loose about it. God had a specific plan. He told them it was required. It was required of them. Exodus 31 says, if you don't keep it, you're to be put to death. And that was no idle talk. That was not just idle talk from God making empty threats. Look over at Numbers chapter number 15. Numbers 15. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Chapter number 15, and look at verse number 32. Numbers 15:32. It says, and while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. So here's a man, it's a Saturday, it's the Sabbath, and he's out gathering sticks. He's doing work. He's violated the Sabbath. What would be the punishment for this man? Verse 33, And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation, and they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses. You see here, God meant it when he told Israel that they were to keep the law, and if you didn't keep the law, I'm sorry, that you were to keep the Sabbath, and if you didn't keep the Sabbath, you would be cut off from your people. Not only are you cut off from your people, you were to be put to death. So observance was not just a suggestion. It had to be Saturday, and they had to keep it fully and completely. Now, just to in contrast to that, and I've already kind of mentioned it, but the preachers will elevate the Sabbath to get you to come to church on Sundays. And they use the Sabbath saying, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy, and you need to come to church. And they telling you to come to church, they're causing you to violate the Sabbath because of the travel that's required at igniting the fire. The problem with them twisting scripture is that they're putting you under the law, and they don't understand the scripture rightly divided in that which was given to Israel and that which was given to the body of Christ. They do the same thing with Hebrews chapter 10 to try to get you to come to church. But you understand who the book of Hebrews was written to, right? The book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrews. And so it was written to the nation of Israel. And so you have to understand who God wrote things to and for what purpose he wrote them. Now, we're not going to have time to get through the purpose of the Sabbath, but why don't we start the issue of talking through what the purpose was for which God gave the Sabbath. Go ahead and turn back to Exodus chapter number 20. Why was it that God gave such rigorous regulations to Israel on the Sabbath day. What is the big deal, God? Yeah, I understand you rested, but if I'm fine and I don't need to rest, you know, what's the big deal? Well, there's a reason for which God gave the Sabbath to Israel in time past. It was a sign, and that sign had a purpose. And when you understand God's purpose, you understand that these things are not arbitrary. You know, when you read through the Bible and you see that God gave the Sabbath to Israel, these things are not arbitrary. God didn't do them just because he wanted to see you do them. God gave Israel the law so they could see their need for righteousness. The law was the schoolmaster to bring men to Christ. He gave them the Sabbath as a sign. So the sign had a purpose. And when you understand that purpose for Israel, you can understand why the Sabbath has no significance for us today in the body of Christ. People are so confused about that question, why God gave the Sabbath, why Israel was keeping it, and why we don't keep it today. And there's a bunch of groups out there that are telling you, Bible teachers, trying to put you back under Israel's program and saying that you need to keep the Sabbath. So when you understand that purpose, you're going to understand that it has no significance for the body of Christ. Now, let's Exodus chapter 20. We read these verses, but let's look at them again because it's necessary. Exodus chapter number 20 and verse number 8. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord God made the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Now when you bless something, what are you doing? You're saying that it's good. You're speaking well of it. And when you hallow it, you're setting it apart. Hallowed be thy name, is what Christ says in the Lord's Prayer in the four Gospels. But it's being set apart for a purpose for which it was created. He blessed the Sabbath day because God finished the work that he had set out to accomplish. And he had created the earth, he had finished it, and he uses this seventh day that he gives Israel to remind Israel of what his purpose in the earth is every week. Look over at Exodus chapter 31 again. Exodus 31, verse number 12. Exodus 31, 12. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you." Did you pick up on those words there? Because there were some very important words there. He says in verse number 13, he says that they're to keep the Sabbath. But notice what he says in the middle of the verse, "For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations that ye may know." God's going to tell us now the purpose for which he gave Israel the Sabbath. And this is what he says. He says that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. So the issue of the Sabbath there is it's teaching Israel that Jehovah God is the Lord that's going to sanctify them. "Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is a holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall be put to death." Look, the issue there, God comes right out and tells you what the purpose of the Sabbath is. It was to show Israel that he's the Lord that's going to sanctify them. So that Sabbath is a sign. It's a sign to show Israel God's purpose. The Sabbath, it's a sign to show Israel for what is going to be accomplished when God dwells with Israel. So if Israel has been, let me ask you a question now. Today we live in the dispensation of grace. Israel has been set aside. They've been cut off for their unbelief. Today in the dispensation of grace, we have the body of Christ where there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Now if Israel's been cut off, if Israel's been set aside and God is not dealing with Israel today, what do you think happened with Israel's Sabbath? Because God said specifically it's going to be a sign for you throughout your generations forever. God has now set Israel aside, and in like manner, God has set Israel's Sabbath aside because he's not dealing with Israel. So, not only is the Sabbath not for the body of Christ today, it's not for Israel today because God is not dealing with Israel on the basis of their covenant of law and circumcision. Israel is not God's chosen nation today. God has cut off Israel, but there will become a time in the future when the church, the body of Christ, is called up to meet the Lord in the air, that God will return to Israel, for he's going to fulfill the promises made unto the fathers of Israel. And when he returns to them, this Sabbath is going to go back into effect because it's a Sabbath through their generations forever. So there's no difference between a Jew and a Gentile today. And the key is that here's the big key. When Israel was cut off, it's not that Gentiles were made Jews. We are not spiritual Israel today. The issue is that Jews were made Gentiles. They were cut off. They no longer had a privileged position on the middle wall of partition with God. They never had. They don't have that direct relationship with God. They've been cut off. So the confusion today about having people keep the Sabbath is because people think that today the body of Christ has been made Israel, and that we're spiritual Israel. We inherit their promises. We're going to inherit the earth. We have to keep the law, that we should be keeping the Sabbath. That's just not the case. God has cut Israel off. He's considered them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. And today in the dispensation of grace, he's not dealing with man on the basis of the covenant of circumcision that he gave to Israel. Rather, he's dealing with man today on the basis of one thing. Have you put your faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross to save you from your sins? You do that, in a moment you're saved. He's quickened your spirit, he's given you spiritual life, and he's put you in the church, the body of Christ. We learned about that in Sunday school, where today it's the church which is his body. It's the body of Christ today. It's not Israel. And so the purpose is not for God to remind you to take a day off. It's for Israel to remember what God did and what God's going to do for them. And when you're resting, there's nothing to distract you from God's purpose for which he had chosen the nation of Israel. You see, when God chose Israel, he chose Israel to redeem the earth. They would be a blessing to mankind. They would be the light that shines on the hill that drew the nations of the earth back to God. But Israel rejected their Messiah, so God couldn't work with them anymore. He had to cut them off. He has now gone to the church, the body of Christ, through the revelation of the mystery committed unto Paul. But the issue here is that the purpose that God has for Israel is in the earth. Now, this mystery doctrine that we're talking about for the body of Christ, this is God's way to redeem the heavens. But God will return to Israel, and he's going to redeem the earth. And we're going to look next week at that issue of the purpose. Because God's purpose, he had two purposes in that issue of in the earth. He was going to dwell in an earthly kingdom with man. He was going to make the earth his habitation. He was going to dwell here with man. And the second thing is that God was going to provide rest in that earthly kingdom. The work would be done. The project would be complete. and we would live in perfect sinlessness and in God's righteousness forever. And so the purpose for the Sabbath, as we'll get to, is to show Israel that purpose of how, as Exodus says, how he's the Lord that's going to that sanctifies them. And what is it is that God's going to do in the earth? How is it that God is going to come back and dwell in an earthly kingdom when mankind is now in rebellion and sin is running rampant? How is it going to be God's going to use the nation of Israel to accomplish that? And then he's going to provide the rest in that earthly kingdom. We'll go through those details next week. I hope you come back and continue our study and watch along with us as we look at part two of our study on the Sabbath. And next Wednesday, if you're so inclined, you can come back and join us here in the physical church pews here at Grace Bible Church in Warren, Michigan, as we look through that issue of the purpose for God in the earth. That issue of the Sabbath is completely entwined with God's plan and purpose for the earth, God's plan and purpose for the nation of Israel, and it's not something to be just brushed aside when you read through the scripture as something that's been that's completely arbitrary or insignificant. God had a purpose, and his word tells us about his purpose and how everything works towards that end. Let's close in a word of prayer, and again, I hope that you come back and join us next week for the next part in our study on the Sabbath. And Father, we love you. We're thankful for this time that we've had in your word. We're thankful for the understanding that you give us, the revelation that was given to Paul, Lord, to understand the scripture rightly divided, understand the things that were given for Israel, the things that were given to us, the church, the body of Christ, Lord, but also just the thankfulness for the grace that you're extending today, saving our souls apart from works. Lord, just imputing your righteousness to us and making us part of your family. Well, we're thankful for that love that you share with us. Help us to understand your scriptures better in the details as we're studying the issue of the Sabbath, so that when we encounter those who are confused on this topic, that we can show them from your word your plan and purpose for the earth, for the nation of Israel, and ultimately your plan and purpose for the body of Christ. Because in the end, Lord, we think that these things matter because they matter to you. And we know that by it, people will be able to see the gospel more clearly. We thank you for these truths. In Christ's name, amen.